Item 12, from the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, requesting a written informational report from the Interim Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, regarding the status of the Winter Farmers Market at the Dome's Annex. This follows informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. A report is being handed out to the committee as we speak. All right. I'd like to welcome to the table Mr. Jim Tarantino. Introduce yourself, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and supervisors. First, just want to say welcome to the two new supervisors, Martin and Shea, and welcome back to the returning supervisors. What better way to kick off a Parks Committee biennium with a couple of fun items, right? My name is Jim Tarantino. I'm the Director of Recreation and Business Services for the Parks Department. I just passed out, and this report was a request for written information, and that's what that is. In my area, recreation and business services at the Parks Department, that encompasses the horticulture operations, including the domes. It incorporates special events. So I'm here to speak on behalf of dome staff and the other event staff on this item. And the second thing I want to say is that we love the Winter Farmers Market, and it's a tremendous event. I think that I'm hopeful that I'll be able to answer some questions, and within the report here, there's a little bit more detail explaining how domes came to that determination.
Is your mic, are you close to your mic?
How's that?
Better?
Yeah.
Please, sorry.
But if you didn't hear it, I want to reiterate that park staff loves the Winter Farmer Market. It's been tremendously successful. Just give you a little bit of history. Came to the domes in 2013. It was formerly at Wisconsin State Fair. At the time, the domes annex, which is the greenhouse event space, was being constructed. The Winter Farmer Market was hosted in the lobby. It moved over to the annex greenhouse space. And it's been a tremendous success in a lot of aspects, from creating awareness that the domes is an event rental space to generate revenue for the domes, to enabling the Fondue Food Center, the Winter's Farmer Market, to grow the vendor base, support small businesses, vendors, and farmers that participate in that, and to bring food to that neighborhood that's accessible in a free event space. So in a number of different ways, it's been tremendously successful, where we, at the end of this season, communicated to the Fondue Food Center staff as soon as possible that we wanted to help them find a new location beginning next winter for that season. Was really to give enough time to find a new location because we want to support the event, but it is an incredible stress on dome staff that are already spread pretty thin, parks ranger staff in total. So it was really just a logistics issue for us at the annex. Yes, there's been some discussion of potential lost revenue, and I can get into a little bit of that. But really, at the end of the day, it's outgrown the relationship that began when the market was brought there from State Fair in 2013, and I think we should work on what does the next phase of that relationship really look like. So in this report here, the response, I've calculated out the staff time that goes into this. The market is hosted on Saturdays. We all know that it's very well attended, but it really begins on Friday and ends on Sunday. It starts with setup. There's event logistics beforehand, during the event, some oversight, parking operations, security operations that are run by park rangers, and then clean up and tear down Saturday night into Sunday. In total, there's about, for every event throughout the 23-week winter season, there's about 41 hours of park staff time that goes into that. I've calculated out, you know, labor rates here, that's about $830 per event. For staff time. We do charge a permit fee to the organizers of $600. So you could say it's only a $230 loss, but over the 23-week season, that becomes substantial. In reality, the money is and recovering cost of staff time is a significant issue, but it's equally significant that those horticulture staff, the parks workers at the domes, are otherwise not working on other projects. So it's 41 hours of staff time spent to this event for people that, frankly, we've got a lot of work to do throughout the park system. So it's very labor intensive, is the point I'm trying to get across. The parking issue, call it an issue or not, there's about 500 spaces at Mitchell Park every Saturday. In addition to the attendees to the market, there's about 1,800 people that go through the Dome's admission. So 500 spaces for regular Dome's patrons, in addition to special events, Fairy Princess Day in early spring. It does present something of a parking crunch that's always been an issue, not necessarily a blocking issue, but it adds to the overall picture. Just to give a sense of the Dome's annex as an event rental space, and again, the farmers market was brought in to help raise awareness of it. We have a catering arrangement with a catering company named Zilly's. You'll find Zilly's is our caterer at Verner Botanical Gardens. They were our caterer at Coast Restaurant, which is O'Donnell Park, until that was sold to the Art Museum. And elsewhere, Zilly's manages catering operations, event rentals. The going rate for a Friday night at the annex is $2,500 for an event rental, primarily oriented towards weddings, events like that. Saturdays, the going rate is $3,000. So just simple math on for a 23-week season during the farmers market, those Friday and Saturday rentals, excluding Sundays and excluding concessions, where we collect 8% of the revenue off of concessions, it's about $138,000 in lost revenue. That, you know, assuming it was fully booked that whole time. So that's the opportunity cost side of a 23-week, 3-day-per-week commitment to this event. I would estimate that about, you know, another $50,000 could be generated in commission off of sales. That's just for what it's worth on what it really means for the Dome's annex space to be considered an event rental facility, which has been talked about quite a bit as far as the future of the Domes and the Domes Task Force and the consultants that have been working on the Domes Task Force for a number of years. Practically every scenario that supports keeping the Domes as is and generating the money to save the Domes means generating revenue through special events within the facility. That's all well and good, but that means that we functionally can't have 23 weeks out of the season that the Domes are losing money. It has to be brought into balance, the next phase of the relationship with the farmers market and free events. I think there's absolutely a place for free public events at the Domes. But in the end, those two missions of supporting free public events and generating revenue for the Domes eventually come to a head, and that's what we really need to resolve.
So, Mr. Tarantino, on that point, actually, can I pause you for a second, sir? So, as I think many people see it, suddenly it was announced that no more farmers, no more winter market there. But I don't want to jump into that. But my question actually for you, sir, is there was a letter sent to the Fondy Market saying that you got to find a new home. Was any attempt made to work with them, to talk with them, or talk with anybody about these concerns, to try and address things, try to see what could be done or could be adjusted to make it work better, actually, from the county's perspective? You know, we're the hosts, right? It's our place. So it's not like when my friend Mitch moved in and gosh, you know, 3 months later, still trying to get this guy out of the house. It's not like that. So what do you think?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, my understanding, you know, I came on in January, was that this had long been discussed, the long-term sustainability of the event under the terms of that agreement at that space. I don't know how in deep or, you know, frequent those discussions were. I do know that the timing of talking with the market and about the concept of moving it from the annex happened as soon as possible so that we could work with the search committee and support that search committee and try to find other locations, give enough time between now and next winter to do that. And I also want to say that this is not a matter of Milwaukee County Parks and the farmers market. We love the market. It's truly the venue and the arrangement, the staffing, the reliance on Dome staff to staff it and ranger staff that event. There's other locations. Milwaukee County, unfortunately, has food deserts in many locations, particularly the north side. I'd be interested in exploring options at other venues on the north side, like just spitballing ideas, Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club in Sherman Park, potential facility, King Community Center, another potential facility. We have facilities that have various pluses and minuses, different drawbacks when you think about staffing and parking, et cetera. But we really want to have that conversation and explore those options. Now, I didn't directly answer your question. Maybe Guy, you have some background on the history.
Guy Smith, please.
Chairman, supervisors, as you know, I've been in the interim role a couple times, and in that transition, there had been discussion with Corporation Counsel, which Paul Kuglich is here, about potential settlement options with the Zilli's group. And so there are some ongoing negotiations. That did affect some of the timing. And what I mean by that is that we did not want to continue to delay following up with the Fondi Winter Farmers Market because we knew that there were these ongoing negotiations. Didn't know exactly, and those are still ongoing, and Mr. Kuglich and Corp Counsel can speak to those. But we didn't want to have it be, you know, July 1st saying, hey, no, we're not going to be available. So we tried to be as timely as we could, and there was a little bit of that transition of roles, and then Jim and his team, you know, kind of delving into that. So I don't know if that helps, but I think Mr. Kuglich will be able to shed some light on this as well.
Well, so before we get Corp Counsel up here, Director Smith, I mean, did this who made the decision? Who made the determination? Was it with Mr. Tarantino, his predecessor? I was curious, how was this decision reached that it has it determined that we cannot have the market in here or should not have it? We'd rather not have it. It seems like you're saying we'd rather not have it, and I'm not sure if
Mr. Chairman, supervisors,
arrangements were made to try and keep it.
What it really comes down to is the reality of not knowing what the finalization of that agreement with Zilli's was going to be. So I cannot stand here today, and I couldn't stand there January 1st telling you for sure that we would be able to have that market because the annex is part of the negotiations with Zilli's.
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, just if I could touch briefly on that, the decision wasn't made because of the settlement with Zilli's.
There's not a settlement yet, is there?
It's a confluence of different events, but the reality is that the settlement with Zilli's envisions a major construction project in that facility, installing air conditioning and cooling a greenhouse is no easy task. It's a major engineering and construction endeavor. It involves the shutdown and the closure of that facility, which would present major additional logistical headaches if we were to be staging the event next year. So, again, just a confluence of different factors, that being one of them.
So a potential settlement, you're not with Corp Counsel, but you could say this potential settlement involves shutting down of the annex, a temporary shutdown, and then remodeling of it. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, one of the, I believe it was in the January cycle that the County Board approved the preliminary settlement agreement with Zilli's, and among other things, one of the items that came out of that settlement was that Zilli's and the county would collaborate to fund and install this air conditioning unit so that the annex could be programmed in the summer. Right now, in the hottest months of the year, it's a greenhouse, so it's not very, you know, at all reserved or programmed. So that was the idea. It was to have a year-round facility to be able to generate more activity there. That's a substantial construction project. I don't know exactly what the construction timelines are, but it was enough of a variable that we wanted you to be aware of it.
Okay. Good. Mr. Kuglich. Introduce yourself, sir.
Yes, Chairman, Committee Members, Paul Kuglich, Deputy Corporation Counsel. First, I'd like to say welcome to the new two committee members. Welcome on board. So, leave it to the lawyers to put a wrench into everything, right? So, what happened here with respect to the Grandview lawsuit, and I'll sort of give a 40,000-foot level for the new supervisors who are now on the board. There was a tragedy in which a child had died from a facade piece falling off of O'Donnell Park. And because of the facade piece falling off the park, we had to close the O'Donnell Park parking garage for approximately a one-year period. That closure affected both Betty Brin Children's Museum that has space at O'Donnell Park and Grandview Management, which operates Coast, which is a restaurant. Subsequently, Coast filed a lawsuit against the county for breach of contract, alleging that we guaranteed them parking. I'm not here to debate the merits of the case. With Betty Brin, we ended up reaching a mediated settlement agreement in lieu of litigation. So currently, we are involved in litigation with Grandview Management. In January, I brought to Judiciary and to Finance Committee a term sheet that had been negotiated and agreed upon between Zilly's and the county to settle the dispute. That was presented to the county board on February 1st, I believe. It's file 1899. So if you go and look at that file, you can see the term sheet. But effectively what the term sheet says is we are going to have Zilly's as the exclusive caterer for both the domes and the annex for a 10-year period with some renewal options. The term sheet also allows the county to sponsor county-related events, and the term sheet actually included the farmers market. All right, but the calendar had to be negotiated between the county and between Zilly's to make sure that we capture as much revenue as possible. And that would be the especially the Saturday nights. And I haven't had any contact with Fondi. The Parks Department I have talked to, and it seemed that the teardown on the Saturdays would impede or go into those events that would be taking place on the Saturday. And Mr. Smith, if you have anything to add, you certainly can. So as far as the market being there or not being there, I haven't been part of those discussions, but it was envisioned that we maximize the revenue at the annex to both the benefit of the county and to Zilly's as our partner and in settlement of the lawsuit. We're still in negotiations, and if you want to hear more about that, I'd certainly recommend going into closed session as this item was properly noticed to do that.
Supervisor Wasserman.
Thank you, man. I apologize. Mr. Chairman.
Good straight, Supervisor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if this is for a closed-door question or a closed session or not question, but specifically is, does Zilly want to maximize profits, and do they want to go to do they want to remove farmers market to maximize the profits in this in light of your $158,000 potential revenue?
I mean, I honestly cannot speak for what Zilly wants to do with mm-hmm. regard to the market. I don't know that.
Has Zilly, then is that question to Mr. Tarantino, have they contacted you and is there that they would like to maximize their profits by removing the farmers market?
No.
Okay. So the usage of Zilly in general, so where does Zilly then fit into this revenue enhancement proposition?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisor. So that's something that I would likely recommend we go into closed session to discuss. We're getting into the negotiations and the heart of that.
Thank you. I'm prepared to go into closed-door session and maybe whenever the chairman would like to do that.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of guests here today. Actually, I don't know if I've ever had this many guest speakers. Not this term, anyway. I will leave it there. So, Supervisor Martin, Shea, questions, comments so far? If not, don't worry about it.
It's a proper date.
Supervisor?
Comments from the floor and then go to closed session.
That is precisely what I was thinking, Supervisor. Yeah. I think what I'd like to do, Counselor and staff, is take comments from the public, and then we will use our ability to go into closed session so you can talk with us in more detail. But out of respect for the people that spent time and money to get here, I'd like to hear from them. Before I call any of our public guests, I'd like to recognize Supervisor Sylvia Ortiz Velez, who is also new to the board. Supervisors, please step up to the table. And welcome to your first Parks Committee meeting. Supervisor, thank you. Would you like to make some remarks?
I would. The domes sit in the District 12, which is the district that I represent. And I actually wanted to share a few things with this committee, concerns, questions that I have, and also to describe the area better for people so people can understand what surrounds the domes. There's a community there. There are directly across the street at 555 South Layton Boulevard. There's a HUD Section 5 housing for seniors and disabled. Directly on the southern side of the domes, right across the street at 2621 West Pierce, there is another senior living housing. And then at 2600 West National, which is just a block away, there's also another one, and at 1721 West Pierce. The point I'm trying to make is that the area is surrounded by seniors that I've spoken to, many of them, at several of the buildings, and all of them have expressed to me that it's vital and important for them to be able to go across the street, to walk across the street and be able to get fresh produce during the winter months. And also that I also want to describe that in the past we had a pick and save on 23rd or 22nd and National. That's been since closed down. So the nearest location really to get fresh produce is El Rey and Cesar Chavez or Aldi's on 35th and Greenfield, all of which are not very accessible to people who are disabled or older. It's a lot easier. It would be actually two buses just to go to those locations when it's just directly across the street for them to be able to get fresh produce. And so a lot of people may think that this is something that certain people may use, but actually our vulnerable people in our communities are using, in my neighborhood, are using the farmers market. And so I would hate to see this removed from my district and from the domes. I really had some questions for the gentleman that just spoke. You know, they talked about the teardown and the, you know, the you know, to put everything together and then tear it down. And it seems like there's a lot of, have they looked at ways of making that more efficient? You know, that's questions that this body could ask. Why are they tearing down on Sunday? Could they tear down before the Saturday? And could we still capture, those revenues? You know, those are good questions that the committee could ask. And I hope that the committee does. And also, it was mentioned by the previous speaker that, public events have to be, weighed with revenues. And I understand that, but when we're talking about access to fresh produce in an area that is, I believe, a desert, a food desert, and is being used by vulnerable people in our communities, I think one outweighs the other people, the people we represent, and that's what this committee should consider. And I want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Supervisor. Thank you for coming today. I think you're very right on many things, but one in particular. This is a public asset, a public institution in a public park. And I don't like it when the public is left out or we're railroaded or excluded from what is ours. So, I know we got to think of, sometimes we got to satisfy the bean counters, but sometimes, damn it, we got to stand up. We got to stand up. So thank you, Supervisor, for coming.
I just wanted to also add to the committee that there is a resolution that's going to be presented later on, and I am full support of that resolution. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. On that note, I also wish to recognize County Board Chairman Theo Lipscomb has joined us. Theo, good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. And Supervisor Dimitrovich.
Good afternoon.
you chair Parks Committee for too long in the morning, and you still think it's morning. So, apparently need more coffee. Good morning. Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Dimitrovich.
Good afternoon. Well, thank you.
I say good morning again.
Such a gentleman, our chairman.
Thank you.
yes, he is.
Amongst many things. Thank you. Wonderful comments by new Supervisor Sylvia Ortiz-Velez. And we'll make it brief. So we have a by the committee. This is an informational item. So especially for some of our newbies, you can, when there's an informational item, you can bring a by the committee resolution if you choose. It has to be moved by the committee. And this item that's before you would request Parks to kind of go back to the drawing table and negotiate on keeping the farmers market at the domes. Actually, just a few thoughts. So I represent the district immediately adjacent, just a few blocks from where Supervisor Ortiz-Velez's district is. Actually, along historic Layton Boulevard, there's another three affordable publicly subsidized housing units. In fact, that part of Milwaukee has incredible historic value, and it's also one of the most densely populated areas in the within the city of Milwaukee. It's a growing area. It's incredibly diverse, the Silver City area. So just a few things on this by the committee resolution that I would ask someone to move approval of and support today so we can get the ball rolling. I think the previous supervisor spoke about the fact that we can probably still capture revenue on Saturday nights. I think it's just a matter of going back to the organizers and saying, look, if you could wrap things up by early Saturday afternoon or evening, if that's a possibility. I mean, that did seem long to me it would take a whole day to turn over the market. So I think that there's room for negotiation, room for discussion. And I guess I'm going to be pretty direct here. I do remember the pre-settlement coming before the board, but I also remember it, you know, it didn't get into the detail about the domes. And if we're negotiating and litigating a settlement that essentially, if I understand it correctly, would result in the only way that you could enter the annex would be through a rental through Zilly's, because I'm failing to see when there would be public use. If you're not going to be continuing with the farmers market and then Zilly's has an exclusive catering contract, it seems as if the only way the public could enjoy that public asset would be through a private rental. And that's not what I envisioned when I authorized even just the funding and the creation and the construction of that annex. In fact, the last point I'd like to make is sometimes on the county board it feels as if we're plugging holes or saying no to this idea or that, but let our minds open a little bit and think about what if this was actually like a year-around farmers market. I think that there's a ripe opportunity, especially as we discuss the future of the domes. Maybe there's a different way we could do it. Maybe there's a way we could actually capture some revenue. I mean, let's be bold and creative and treat that facility like we're going to be running it long-term, which is something that I support. That park is one of the most interesting, beautiful, large parks that if you haven't been in, I ask you to go check it out. There's like a valley, a pavilion, a pond, a football field. So I think that we could even do something in the summer. I mean, winter is of great need because it is hard to access healthy foods. And as you may or may not know, farmers markets also accept public subsidies and assistance. So our older adults have coupons, as well as I believe there's special farmer market coupons for families. So there's a lot of great benefit there. And I would encourage us, like I said, to not just do what we're doing, but let's do it differently and perhaps even allow the idea of doing more. I mean, if it's been that successful, something the market is saying that it's working. And I think that, I guess that's a pun, but the market, the private market, but also the farmers market is working and there's a high demand. So thank you. I support the chairman's leadership here with a by the committee. I think we can move forward and negotiate something good for everybody.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure, thank you. So let's go back a little bit to figure out how we got here. So I do believe that probably others might not have voted for that settlement if this had been more clearly a part of that discussion. Obviously, I voted against it, not because I understood that element of it, but for other concerns that I had in the transaction. But this seemed to come out later that this, in fact, was related to it. Obviously, there had been no discussion with this board ahead of the notice to the farmers market that it would be discontinued. I think that this all relates to the way that the park system is seemingly evolving into profit center sort of mentality. And I respect the interest that we have in trying to make some money where we can. But it's not all, everything in our parks in particular is not measured in profit. And the number of people that are participating at this market is just impressive. I mean, you're not going to match that. Weddings don't attract 2,000 people, at least none that I'm invited to. maybe this week's wedding in England, but you know. So I just think we've got to look at the value and measure it in other ways. Now that said, I'm not interested in micromanaging the specific terms of this, and so I'm open and respectful of the fact that the department has raised legitimate concerns in terms of logistics, and potentially seems one of the areas most likely would be the compression of that event setup and cleanup that clearly can't, that they've got to mitigate this loss, right? So I'm open to that, but I think that that's part of the negotiation, and I think that the other party on this transaction is going to be open to that discussion too because of their interest in this site. That said, so what you have in front of you is a by the committee. We're offering it to you. It would obviously require someone on committee to move it. And just by way of explanation for those who aren't familiar, so the normal process is that a supervisor submits a resolution. A resolution gets referred to a committee, and then a recommendation by the committee goes to the board. A by the committee is different in that it bypassed that step of it was not introduced early and referred to committee, but it is responsive to something that the committee has in front of them. I mean, the report we got from Parks, we just got yesterday. Right. So, you know, we were working yesterday, last night, this morning, you know, trying to craft something for you, for your consideration. And it was responsive to what we knew was coming to the committee. Even the very fact that we have an item is that the county board created an item and requested information because nothing was coming to you. There was no response to this, and this has been simmering for months. So the by the committee action recognizes the fact that parks are different, and the county board does still have control over parks and park leases. And so there should be a negotiation, and we're asking parks to bring forward a renegotiated lease to the county board. This is, you know, unlike other county assets where the exec now has near unilateral authority to enter into leases and to sell things off, parks are different. They should be treated different, and we're asking that this be treated with that in mind, that there's a public interest here, that we'd like some more effort put into making this work.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Supervisor Dmitrievich, for coming today. Mr. Chairman, in the district you represent on the North Shore, on the North Side, do you have any farmers markets in your district?
Yes. And I didn't know how popular this one was with my constituents. So several of them are here today, and several of them have contacted me. So, so yes, even though there are some, Brown Deer has one. In particular, I'm sure there are others that I'm unaware of. That's not my thing, but I recognize its value.
Yeah, that's not the field of your expertise.
Fox Point has one still.
Stormont.
Okay, very good. So yes, there are several, but this is still a unique
unique venue. So.
And Supervisor Dmitrievich, of course, you have, and you represent South Shore Park.
The famous South Shore Farmers Market starting June 16th.
Excellent. I'll be there.
Music.
Hey. Do you know, Supervisor, now, as we discussed a moment ago with the chairman, this is not your field of expertise per se, but do you know how long it takes them to set up and take down at South Shore?
About maybe 2 hours before, and they're out of there about an hour after. I don't know. I mean, it's an outdoor facility. There's probably different hookups and things and different types of vendors. But I know because that park is home to other events. But it might have something to do with being outdoors, so
right.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. And over in the 14th District, the Fighting 14th, we have the Garden District Farmers Market at 6th and Howard. That sets up within and takes down even less time, I think, because South Shore is very, very big and well-established and fun and famous. But my impression is it doesn't take that long to set up a market and definitely not to take it down. So I've been doing a lot of this motion where I scratch my beard and say, why? So thank you both.
Thanks for your consideration, committee.
Okay. We do have this motion before us, or this resolution by the committee before us. Supervisor Nicholson will introduce it. Before we get to it, I want to go through the stack of cards from the public. Then after that, I'd like to go into closed session. So a closed session is where I need to ask you guys to leave, and the committee members and the county staff will stay here. Other supervisors are welcome to be in the room as we discuss things with our attorney, and that should not be apparently discussed in otherwise good company. So the first person I'd like to call right now is Ms. Jennifer Casey of the Fondi Food Center and the Winter Market. Ms. Casey, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And before you get into your otherwise masterful presentation, can I ask, how long does it take to set up the farmer's market, usually?
We can set it up within a couple of hours and take it down without an hour.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Would you please continue?
Yes. So I've prepared some written comments in order to cover as much as possible in a short period of time, so I'm going to read from my comments. But thank you for this opportunity. I am here as the executive director of the Fondi Food Center, the nonprofit that has managed the Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market since 2015. Fondi brings healthy food and economic opportunity to greater Milwaukee through our farmers markets, farms, and our countywide healthy food access initiative. So I'm here on behalf of the board and staff, our customers, our vendors, our community partners, to advocate that the winter market continues to find a home in the Dome's annex. I am submitting a letter, which has been sent to the County Board of Supervisors last week, and wanted to highlight a few points about how the winter market can both benefit the people of Milwaukee County and make the case that it can coexist with the intended use of the space for catered events. Indeed, there is a precedent. We have searched for another venue that would meet the market's list of criteria, a list which we are also submitting, a list of criteria, and we have not found a single one in a long list of spaces that we've explored. So let's talk for a bit about how the Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market improves healthy food access. So the market makes fresh, locally grown and produced food available year-round. There is not another winter venue like it in the county. And in a surrounding neighborhood where more than 40% of households with SNAP, aka food stamps, federal nutrition benefits, it's important to note that our SNAP EBT program provides equitable access to a variety of nutritious food options. Not to mention our grant-funded market match program allows family SNAP benefits to stretch farther by doubling the amount of fresh produce they can buy. At the same time as all this, the winter market is also improving the local economy. We estimate that more than $1 million in annual revenue for 79 farmers and local food producers. And the economic impacts extend beyond the market, with 25% of our customers reporting they patronize other neighborhood businesses after attending the market. And of course, there is the $13,200 in rental income that we pay to the parks. So I'd like to close by responding to Director Smith's report. I'm not certain where the figures for the Dome's event staffing came from or the timing of the events. In our experience, 29 hours in Dome's staff time is neither provided nor needed. Our market managers, dedicated volunteers, and especially our very experienced farmers market vendors set up, operate, and break down the market. Additionally, to the point of parking, while parking does fill up and it can present a problem, I believe that adequate signage that would direct people to the back parking lot, allowing them to know that there's ample parking in the back and a very nice, you know, pathway up to the Dome's annex, that would improve access to parking for Dome's visitors. So along with our community partners, farmers and food producers, volunteers and customers, we're dedicated to the continuation of a thriving public market, and we hope that it can continue in the Dome's annex space. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Casey. Supervisor Washman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How does the hyper-segregated Milwaukee marketplace affect the Fondy market customer base in terms of racial breakdown there versus at the Dome's?
So Fondy Farmers Market, which is the nonprofit that our organization was started to support and ensure the long-term success of, is famously a celebrated space of inclusivity. It is one of the most diverse spaces that you'll find in the city of Milwaukee. What we have found is that the winter market is not as diverse. It's more of a typical farmers market shopper profile. The typical farmers market shopper across the country tends to be white, highly educated, upper to middle class, and female. We're working to change that. Fondy Food Center is using lessons learned at the winter market to create more of a culture of inclusivity at the winter farmers market. Our community liaison, who's not there today, has been doing outreach to a number of local neighborhood partners, visiting the aforementioned senior housing sites, and letting them know that those with SNAP nutrition benefits can use their benefits at the market. So does that answer your question?
It answers my question, but it brings up a major concern I have. One thing I like about Fondy Market is you are truly in a food desert. You are truly in an area that doesn't have fruits, vegetables, and more importantly is your customer base. When you go into the Fondy Market, you see people who represent the neighborhood. You see African Americans, point blank, more than the white suburban person I represent. And I think it's something that's very special when you go there. And I think if you take that Fondy Market and you take it into the Domes and you get this white suburban base coming in the wintertime, we're losing, I think, I'm not telling you what to do, but I think the African-American community, point blank, loses something when it's taken out of their home. And for them to cross, for people to cross over, because Milwaukee is so hyper-segregated, they're losing something by crossing the viaduct.
Oh, I think I misunderstood your question earlier. So the winter market has been in existence for many years before Fondy Food Center took it over. We didn't move the winter market from Milwaukee's north side. We took over operations while it was already in the Dome's annex. And specifically, we have former Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market board members here. I mean, we were in talks with them for over a year. They specifically wanted to work with Fondy because of our experience and being able to connect with more diverse customers. I will say our SNAP sales are increasing. We've implemented this market match program. And we're working on other things like creating multilingual marketing campaigns to try and connect with, there's a Spanish-speaking population in the neighborhood, and we want to connect with everyone.
I'm complimenting you, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm complimenting in what you're doing. That's not my my question. My question's really concerning. I think the need for Fondy Market to continue in the wintertime, keep it localized, to keep an African-American base, is critical.
Oh, sure. You're not the only one. Oh, sorry to cut
you. Yeah, I just see it as critical. And I think looking for space in the winter for an African American base is critical, as well as I want the domes to have a Hispanic base. I want them to be the local, I want the local representative to have the local color, the local flavor at these marketplaces. So looking at some other vendor, you know, venue to allow the food desert not to be just taken care of in the summertime with finding market in your area, but to make sure the winter times also provide is also a critical component of what I think you're doing. And I don't want that missed out, because it's nice for the summer, but wintertime, people in my district love farm markets, and you know, and they have the means to go wherever they want to, but other people don't have those means, and I think we have to look out for those, that population.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And like I said, you're not the only one. There are a number of community stakeholders, including the City of Milwaukee, who is our partner at the Fondy Farmers Market, and a number of community developers, and identifying how we can have a year-round market directly in that neighborhood. So,
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Cool. Okay. Other questions by Supes otherwise? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Casey.
Sorry, who can I give these to?
Up on the desk there.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know my comments are supposed to be done, but I was not aware of this resolution until it was just handed out, and I am in support of it.
Great, thank you very much. It's by the committee, so it was a surprise.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I ask you one more question before you leave?
Ms. Casey, please have a seat.
Can you give me the breakdown of the demographics of the vendors that serve the public at the market? So what type of people are selling produce? And where are they getting that produce?
The produce, so the vendors and local food producers are, the product profile is very diverse. The vendors at the market typically own their own land, and those who grow and bring produce are engaging in season extension and storage techniques. In fact, that's one of the reasons, improved storage techniques was one of the reasons the market was started in the first place. Am I answering questions? There are also a number of local food producers.
Yeah.
I think 27 of our vendors' businesses are in Milwaukee. So 27 out of almost 80 vendors are from Milwaukee, but many of them are coming from outside Milwaukee County.
Okay. I just wanted to highlight that not only does this help the public get access to that fresh food, but this also is a supporting our small local businesses and those people who, you know, use our programs, our county programs, to learn how to grow things and in turn sell them. So thank you for that.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a good example of that. Angela Moraney, that salsa lady, she has historically used county park land to grow, or parkland, county land to grow, extension land. And we have a couple of vendors here today who I think will be speaking on behalf of the market. All right, thank you again.
Thank you. I call Mr. Bill Stone, hailing from 1072 288th Avenue in Burlington, Wisconsin. Welcome.
Thank you. I feel like an interloper.
No, that's okay. My former brother-in-law is from Burlington, so
good.
I know you're kind.
Good.
I'm sorry. That was horrible. I really apologize. Welcome. You're welcome here, Mr. Stone. Please ignore my blithe comment, and I'll be quiet.
Now, I am here to represent the farmers and farmers markets and local food production and consumption. After retiring from another job in 97, I've sort of devoted the last 20-plus years to working with local food initiatives at a local and state level, trying to increase the production of local and consumption, of course, of local foods. I think it's not a good thing to depend on California for all of our vegetables and other food products. I think it's great if we can raise, and we can raise, a lot of food in this area, and it's becoming progressively larger, the amount of food we grow. So I've been involved in starting farmers markets and participating in farm markets. We have a apple pear orchard in 6 miles east of Burlington on the north side of the Bong State Recreation Area. It was in my wife's family, and so I've been sort of shepherding it along the last 20-plus years. And we began doing off-farm markets, and I think this is true of a lot of farmers, in the late 1990s and early 2000s. Farm markets have been growing nationally. Other people in this room can speak to the numbers, but it's a huge issue. Believe it or not, Wisconsin is the second only to California in the growing of vegetables. And when you think about it, potatoes in the Central Sands, beans and peas and sweet corn, a lot of that food is distributed frozen in the wintertime. And we're also our number one in production of cranberries, cheese, and other products, which we can be real proud of. We do 40% of the beans in the country, and they're mostly sold as frozen. Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.
I am the father, maybe I'm old enough now, I'm the grandfather, of the winter farmers market in Milwaukee. There was no winter farmers market in Milwaukee prior to 2009. Interestingly, the Madison, I think you're all familiar with the Madison market, it's a huge market in the summer. They also have a winter market. The summer market is over 30 years in operation. The winter market is around 15, if I remember right, 15 years. And those two markets go on annually. They move around a little bit. The square is in the summer. They go to the Monona Terrace for a while before Christmas, and then they go to the Senior Center, I believe, after that until they open the summer market again. And at any rate, Kenosha, interestingly, had a winter farm market that they started, and we participated in that. And in 2009, I was president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers, and I was able to talk them into being the fiduciary, which was a requirement of the State Fair Park to have an underwriting organization to pay the bills if we were not successful. And so we opened in November of 2009 at State Fair Park in the lobby of the Tommy Thompson building. Mm-hmm. We stayed there for 4 seasons. The last 2 seasons, we were under significant pressure to bend to paid parking, and that was eventually the issue that had us leave, because none of us in the production area of produce here feel that people are going to pay to go to the grocery store. $5. And so that was the impetus to move to the Domes, where we've been since that time, and it's been a very successful market. I created 3 handouts, which one is the history of the farmers market, one is the chronology of what was occurring each year, mm-hmm. and the third are just some general comments. But just a couple of closing comments. One is that the economic impact is significant, as Jennifer had just mentioned. And the seasonal extension for small farmers is a huge issue. If you think about it, normally dirt farmers, people that grow vegetables, basically have about a 4-month period of time from the time of planting till Labor Day, let's say. And then that's their income. And so it's difficult, unless they're retired or otherwise self-sufficient, to live on that. But if you add winter markets, and now with hoop housing and greenhouse growth and better storage, we can produce really decent green crops essentially through most of the winter. So I would also, having just reviewed your recommendations, your resolution, I would strongly support that we try to stay at the Domes, which has been, from the farmer's standpoint, a terrific venue. It's relatively easy to move in on grade, has adequate parking, has public transportation, and has been available. And we can certainly conform to constrained hours of operation and hindering other uses of that facility.
Fantastic.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Thank you for all your work.
Feel free to bring samples next time.
I almost did.
Naturally, we are above such influence.
Please.
All right. Ms. Tracy Wilkins, 413 North 2nd Street, representing Winter Farmers Market.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I represent being of a loyal patron to the farmers market. I helped the original group in terms of helping the vendors sell their product, helping with events, because I was really committed. I live in downtown Milwaukee, right across from where they're doing the streetcar construction. And with it, there's not many places to be able to buy fresh vegetables, but people also are not talking about access to all the fresh meats, pork products, buffalo, elk, beef. So it's more than just for vegetables and fruits. There are a lot of baked products, there are a lot of jams, jellies, and other products that small business people would not have the access to being able to sell. It allows them to actually test drive their products for them to try to scale up from being more of a year-round producer. And I really feel that without having the Winter Farmers Market, that it really is going to be a barren place that people from all sexual preferences, all religions, all colors, all social economics. And so with it, I would be very, very sad for the commission not to consider the importance of keeping the Winter Farmers Market. And I do speak for all the patrons. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Deborah Deacon, I believe you're hailing from Brookfield.
Yeah.
Oh, registered, but not speaking. So, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Can I make a question at the end?
Well, do you have it now?
Yes, I do.
All right. Please come up.
We received the report from Mr. Smith?
Yep.
Yes, and that came, we received it from your information officer yesterday at 4 o'clock. So, and there were some statements made that were rather upsetting in terms of their veracity, and I wondered if we could, if we'd have the opportunity to reply or make our own report.
Are you referring to, is it something that's also before us today? Is it the report from Parks Department about
right.
this? Well, in the interest of time, I mean, I'd like to know what your concerns are, but I
think that
I get more cards here, and yeah.
Sorry.
Please continue.
Well, there were things about staffing, the times, and I think Jennifer touched on those. Mm-hmm. The fact that we there was never a letter sent to Fondi. It was just presented. The closure was just sent or delivered verbally to our Fondi market director.
Oh.
And so, you know, things of that nature that would really impact the decision that's made.
Interesting to hear that. So thank you. Well, I'd asked earlier, did you try? In so many words, and I think we got our answer. That
I'm sorry.
I asked the parks part. Did you try to work with the market?
Well, maybe I should give you a little background. I was one of the co-founders of the market back in 2009, and was a market coordinator for 6 years. But for the past 3 years, it's been run by the Fondi Food Center. But I still have, I'm still an enthusiastic customer and care about what happens. You know, I have my own perspective of what happened back when we were at the youth center, but I'm not as familiar with what's happened structurally since it was turned over to Fondi.
Okay. Well, thank you for expressing some of your concerns. If you'd like, I would invite you to send my office a letter. I'd like to hear more about it.
Yeah, I'm not... public speaking is not my forte, but I definitely could fill you in. And in terms of my knowledge of farmers markets, it's in southeast Wisconsin, and I've been to all the markets in Milwaukee County multiple times. So I'm glad to share some background with you, and maybe that would be the most appropriate way to bring up some issues.
I would appreciate that very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for coming today.
My pleasure.
And welcome to our courthouse. All right. Mr. Rich Durheim. Rivendell Drive in Brookfield. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having us here to discuss all this. As Farmer Bill, my friend Farmer Bill and colleague gave you the chronology of the market through the State Fair Park and then moved to the domes, I became president just after the apple growers kind of pulled out and ran and was president of the Winter Farmers Market through the balance of time at State Fair and then more importantly into and the transition to the with the domes. Earlier I heard I think it was council referred to Zilly's as a partner. I had the very lucky opportunity to work with domes management, particularly Executive Director Fulleron and Ms. Susie Devich. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Apologize for that. And I can tell you that we had a great working relationship. They're two, you know, outstanding administrators and executives. And we talked about partnerships all the time. If we had issues with each other, we sat down and figured them out, whether it was ours or theirs. And so, you know, with all due respect to the report and the comments, I honestly never got the impression that we were a temporary or kind of just a, you know, trial balloon to see whether the domes annex could be a venue. Maybe that was their idea, but I never got that impression at all. And in fact, when myself and Bill from the board decided that we needed a critical mass, we were kind of running our farmers market by the seat of our pants. We decided to look for a bigger organization with which to merge and ultimately chose Fondi for some of the reasons that Jennifer has lined out. The Friends of the Domes actually was very interested in doing that. We chose that, you know, we chose to merge into Fondi for some of the reasons she mentioned. So it wasn't a slight. It was just a strategic decision. So I think I'm here to talk about relationships, and you've referred to it a few times, you know, because there are nickels and dimes and dollars and lots of dollars. But in the end, as a person who ran his own company for a while, I understand responsibility and accountability for not just dollars and cents, but for the greater good for all my constituencies, my customers, my investors, all that kind of. Well, it's a similar thing here. So, but I've been hearing that kind of conversation, and I really appreciate it. So I'm here to ask you to consider that seriously as you consider all these other things. I mean, I'm not going to repeat all the, you know, I love it as much as everybody else being there for all these years. So we hope to ask your help in keeping us where we are. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Card registered in, but not speaking in favor. Pamela
Michon.
Thank you. Yeah. The last vowel was throwing me off. Organization represented Patron. Good tequila. Okay.
Is that what I think it is?
Is that?
Patron.
Yeah. Market patron, of course. Mr. Jonathan Dye, hailing from North 49th Street. And as he makes his way up here, folks, if you have not tried, this is me speaking as not as a county supervisor, but as a humble consumer of his pies.
Yeah.
They're so delicious, they can cause grievous bodily injury to their preparer, apparently.
Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
And you'll be at Food Truck Friday in Morgan Park on Friday, June 1st. Is that correct, Mr. Dye?
I will be. I'm looking forward to that.
Will you be there, sir, or will you not be there?
I will. We'll definitely be there, sir.
Please.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here, including those in the audience. This is a very important matter, and I'm glad that we're bringing this to light and having this discussion. So I'm very glad to be here. I wanted to circle back and talk about a good market, because I think we talk about it and we don't understand the impact that a good market could have. And sometimes we can have something like what goes on at the Domes with the Fondi market and not completely understand it. Even if you've been there, maybe you may not understand it. There's a very robust market in Kenosha County, the Kenosha Harbor Market, which is the Kenosha has gone through a resurgence the last 10 years or so. And it was kind of teetering when the auto manufacturer, somebody help me, the Chrysler pulled out. I'm a UW Parkside graduate, so I'm familiar with the area. But this market down there, it's something to see on a Saturday. I'm privileged to be a part of this market as well, and they'll get 16,000 people on a Saturday. And if you can imagine the businesses that this impacts, the families that it impacts, so this market has been a tourism. People will come up from Chicago. This is the harbor market. So I remember having a surprisingly refreshing conversation with a teenager that he took the yacht up with his girlfriend, and he said, "No, I don't need any forks. We got him on the yacht, you know." And it wasn't, and he didn't say it that way, but in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, do you now? You know, great, fantastic." But this market in Kenosha is a magnet that brings people from you know, South Chicago up to this market from the whole region. So it's a real jewel. And in this case, in Kenosha, it has been a critical part of bringing the city back, and it has been a critical part of saving the city. And if anybody would talk about what has gone on in Kenosha County to save it and bring it back, I don't think anybody down there that knows what happened would not mention this market. There's also a world-class market in Madison at the Capitol that is one of the best markets in the Midwest, probably in the country. There's a huge market in Seattle downtown that's been there forever. And it's, again, a chief component or reason why Seattle has had such great economic development and growth over the years. So we have this market here that, you know, there's people that have numbers that'll be more accurate than mine. But in the middle of the winter, there's thousands of people that show up here. There's probably 50,000 people that'll show up over the course of a winter. And the last day of the market this year, I had three people that had showed up from Illinois at this market. So you have folks that are driving around from the region, some outside of the region, people from Colgate, from Beloit, from you know, Waukegan. I've heard as far away as Madison. I've heard stories of people, you know, just customers that are there that have come into our city. And I'm from 53206, born and raised, and this is a jewel of our city. And it's a good way that we could put our foot forward, our best foot forward. And you have people coming, and they see Milwaukee in a completely different light. I mean, if you watch television coverage, you're not from Milwaukee, you'll certainly easily get the wrong idea about the people here and the Milwaukee that I know, the Milwaukee that I love. And here we are. We have this this beautiful jewel of a market that could be part of Milwaukee's continued comeback, and it's like we're fighting with ourselves to be quick and short. We need to get out of the way of this market. We should be here talking about how this market should be here on Sundays and Saturdays. We should be here talking about, you know, I'm not sure what the details are of the settlement and what the county needs to do to make good on the settlement with the vendor, but we're talking about investing in air conditioning system. Sounds expensive. It sounds like we're talking about, excuse the pun, we're talking about pie in the sky.
All right.
Versus a something that is working. You know, I'm from Milwaukee. I'm spent my entire life here. I went away to Kenosha for a few years. I've been back. I can't think of anything that is working like this robust jewel of a market that we have. We should be figuring out how to invite the guests that come down to plays, to any other happenings in the area. We should be trying to build on the market. The city of Greenfield will soon probably have one of the best markets in the, it'll be in the top two or three in the state. And I'm not as familiar with that market, I'm a member of it. But you can tell from what I know and what I've seen that the powers that be, they have built the infrastructure around the market. And I think in the same breath, we need to collectively, all of us, when I first heard that the market was moving, I was just like, why? You know, how is this possible? And that the decision was made and it was a done deal, and there was no, and to find out that there was no room for input. There was no discussion of how can we make this work. And I think it was short-sighted. And part of it could be just because maybe there was no value placed on this. There's no true understanding. You know, there's lots of ways we can make the market better. There's ways of someone asked the question about the diversity of vendors. To give you an honest answer, we're not diverse at all. We're working on it. I've expressed some. I'm a new vendor too. I've been here. I had to fight like hell to get into the market, and I would like to be part of the solution of making it more diverse. I think it needs to. The biggest tragedy, I think there's one minority vendor that's a full time vendor at the market. This is the lady that we discussed. I can't think of that salsa lady. Wonderful business. But there's the folks that are right up the street with on Mitchell Street. You spoke to the diversity of the neighborhood. If you think of the Lopez Bakery, they're a couple blocks up the street. I was talking to Jorge, and I assumed he was a full-time vendor, and he's like, no. And so what you run into is, and it's not, I love my market family, and I love, we're like a, we all take care of each other, and some of these things aren't, it's a problem not with just this market, but with lots of markets where people, you know, they'll say, oh, we're grandfathered in, and it's like, well, okay, well, if you're grandfathered in, I mean, you don't want to hear stories about my grandfather.
We don't have time for that today, Mr. Dye.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. What I wanted to just say that I'm encouraged. I'm hopeful that we will I'm inspired by some of the conversations that take place. I think we're headed the right way. It does not take a weekend to pack this market up. That I know. But we should be getting out of the way of this market. When the supervisor, Dmitrievich, she suggested that we should be looking into moving into the summer. Whatever it is, we need to get out of the way and let this market continue to have the impact that it's having, and maybe we can work on ways of building it.
Supervisor Washman, you had a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you much for your additional comments. I think what I was touching on before is, of course, I want your market family to exist. You know, and, you know, you work together as a group, absolutely. But inclusion of neighborhood is critical. Inclusion of diversity is critical. And, you know, having a all-white customer base in a Hispanic neighborhood at the Domes that we as county taxpayers are paying for and subsidizing, I just don't think is fair.
I couldn't agree more.
I think that when we have a community in the Fondy market where you have an African-American base and you have African-American customers, that's something that we want to support. But it's not taking a white suburban area and putting it into non-diverse communities. And this has to be looked at. And when we put resolutions forward and when the county puts their finger and their approval, we have, as a county, we have a duty for diversity. We have a duty for inclusion for both customer base and also from farmer base. We have to include people. And it's more than just a simple, we're going to be at the Domes. We're more than just farmer market. We have to be truly enlightened to include everybody else. And employment and workers and customer base is really the key, more than the Domes.
And on a related matter, I think there's African American barbecue vendor that's there, and they're pretty new in the business. They have unbelievable barbecues, unbelievable, and I just think about what a blessing the market has been to them. And they're not a full-time vendor. They're there sometimes when they can be, maybe ever. Toward the end, I think it was even every other week. I think they're there more. But the concerns that for a small business, and I've been in business for 6 years, and we're still a small business. The Kenosha Winter Market, the winter version of the Harbor Market, last year, it literally got us through the winter. You know, usually the summer is where we make our money. We have a blessing that we have Thanksgiving and Christmas as well. But there's usually kind of a dry spell because one of the key things that people, new entrepreneurs talk to me all the time, and they ask me for advice. And the advice that I offer is centered around, you need to get yourself in front of some customers. And if you're making barbecue sauce or whatever, you need to make a lot of it. There should be some barbecue sauce if this is what you're doing, right? But you need customers, and this is a good way that you can get in front of a lot of customers, and I think it's critical, especially with black unemployment, the numbers that we have, especially with Hispanic unemployment, the numbers that we have in our city. And if we're going to this is the Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market, so I think if you use the word Milwaukee and we're in Milwaukee, we're using Milwaukee resources, you know, I think it's I left a message for the South Shore Market a couple weeks ago, and I got this. We don't have any spots where we're grandfathered in, and I've gotten this thing like 20 times, and it's frustrating because here it is, you're in a county park, and you're getting, basically put your application in and you're going to be on a waiting list. And I think I've expressed these concerns to leadership at Fondi, and I'm confident that we're going to get these things addressed and worked out and figure out what's best to move forward. But, you know, it would be the difference between a business like mine or a business like any business that's new. It could be the difference between you being here or not if you don't get in front of enough customers. So I was going to say the Kenosha winter market last year, even 5 years in, this got us through to the spring last year. And the Fondi market, Kenosha was down, but the domes, it got us through this year. So it's a very powerful thing. So thank you all for your time, and I'm excited about that this has even taken place. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dye. See you soon. All righty. Not too many more cards. Mr. Gregory Leon, 315 East Wisconsin Avenue. Okay, thank you. Katie Hessener, from North 50th Place, representing Fondi Food Center. Hi. Welcome.
All right. I don't have to press anything here. There we go. All right. So I'm Katie Hessener. I'm the director of farmers markets for the Fondi Food Center, and I'm the on-site manager of the Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market every Saturday, and I've been managing farmers markets for 6 years. We have been honored to call the Greenhouse Annex our market's home. With a good partnership with the domes, it was really tough to receive the phone call that the lease was not going to be extended by the county for another season. I certainly have gotten a lot of feedback from vendors and customers about how disappointed they are. I was able to read the report from the interim parks director yesterday, and I was surprised by the reported staff time and the number of days that the market supposedly controlled the space. Fondi rented the annex on Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., with the market running from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. With an agreement with the domes, Fondi staff was permitted access to the annex on Friday afternoons to spend about an hour setting up stall boundaries and tables. If there would have been an event that would have affected a Friday setup, we knew that we would be setting up on Saturday morning, which would not have been a problem for us. Initial setup of the market is done by Fondi staff, then our well-seasoned vendors do the majority of the work to make the market come alive each week. So outside of unlocking the annex and ensuring that we had tables and chairs, it's unclear to me how 5 hours of Dome's employees' time was allocated to the market on Fridays. The Dome staff member assigned to the market on Saturdays would be present the whole market day and would prep the entryway, handle cleaning tasks, and help regulate the temperature. It was more of an on-call position during the market, and often they spent their time sitting in the storage room waiting for something to happen, or occasionally be called away for other tasks in the domes. Loadout at the end of the market was significantly faster than load-in since vendors had less product. Most vendors were gone by 1:30, and with the exception of a few weeks, everyone was out of the annex by 2 p.m. By the time the Fondi staff left the market, the dome staff member had already swept much of the annex floor and gathered the trash. Besides needing to come through with a rideable floor scrubber and probably cleaning the bathrooms sometime in between markets, there were no other tasks that I'm aware of that would cause an additional 4-hour shift on Saturdays and an 8-hour shift on Sundays. I would believe that a couple hours in between markets were spent attending to the annex, but I was really shocked about the reported 17 weekend hours outside of the market that a seasonal Domes employee would need to attend to the space because of the market. I feel like the market is lower maintenance than portrayed in the report, with really only needing to operate in the space Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it would be amazing if that would continue. That's the end of my prepared statements, but because of the conversation, I just wanted to point out one thing on the attachment of attendance, which is in the packet from the report. You can see in 2014-2015, there's a column that says GH. That's when the market moved to the greenhouse, and you can see that the numbers significantly started dropping. And one reason for that is when, in the first year and a half, when the market existed in the lobby, everyone who was coming to the domes without even knowing there was a market there were counted. So everyone entering that building was in those initial numbers. We moved to the greenhouse, needed to build up a new base of customers in a new space. You can see then in the 2015-2016 column, February 6th of 2016, we dropped from 3,000 the week before to 1,700. If you guys remember, that's when the domes closed down. And the report from all the news sources were that all events at the domes have been canceled. That significantly affected our attendance at the market, and it's taken a while for us to build it up. But people are still coming. They still support us. There's always factors that in a winter market that affect attendance, weather, other events, et cetera. But we've had a very successful market at the domes, and I'm really hopeful that it can stay. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thanks for your work. Okay. Ms. Barbara Heinen. From Shorewood, Woodburn Street, representing Joyful Eats, LLC.
Hello. My name is Barb Heinen. I'm a holistic nutrition consultant. I have doctors and nurse practitioners and therapists and other allied health professionals who send me clients with diagnoses such as diabetes, heart disease, depression, anxiety, autoimmune conditions, and even cancer. I help these people use food as medicine. And when these people learn to use local, real, whole foods, they often see their symptoms very quickly improve. Farmers markets play a crucial role in making that happen. I believe so strongly in that that I helped start and run the Shorewood Farmers Market in my community during the summer months. And I will also concur that it takes about 2 hours to set up and about 1 hour to take down. Milwaukee Winter Farmers Market provides access to those fresh local foods throughout the winter months. So it's really important that that can continue for the Milwaukee County residents. Farmers educate people on how to use foods. They help them with recipes, so they play a crucial link. Being able to get to know the growers helps people feel comfortable with incorporating real foods into their lives. Market provides market match benefits, which help people extend their food share benefits, which really supports our most vulnerable population. So another huge benefit from a health standpoint. The annex at the domes is so centrally located. It's really accessible. It's easy for people to get to, and it serves a great portion of Milwaukee County residents. By allowing the Milwaukee Farmers Market to stay at the domes, I think you guys have a grand opportunity to really strengthen and support the health of bodies and also our community. I hope you'll really consider letting it stay there. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the Shorewood Market.
Yeah. All right. Is Ann Steinberg from North Prospect in Milwaukee? Okay. Thanks for coming today. And finally, Mr. Attorney William Lynch, North Lake Drive, representing the Domes Task Force.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Chairman.
I just thought I might be available to discuss some of the implications of what's being considered in this file for the future of the domes, which is the task force's charge. One thing I wanted to do is kind of take a bigger look back on some of this. There have been two events at the domes that have attracted large numbers of people regularly over the years, and including people who wouldn't otherwise be coming to the domes. Music Under Glass was a very successful, high-volume way for people to get reacquainted with the domes and its programs and its facilities and the winter farmers market. Management decisions were made in managing the Music Under Glass program to gradually reduce the quality of the bands until nobody came because they didn't like the music. Here we're seeing management decisions having to do with the ability to staff, take down and turnover of the facility, where the report, the understanding is that the Fondy Market has been a reason not to rent on Fridays, Saturday nights, or Sundays for 22 weeks of the year. That raises management issues in terms of how well the facility is now being managed. On the flip side, it shows how much of potential there is for the domes as an activity. If we could overcome the problem of, maybe having two or three people clean up instead of just one, so it doesn't stretch into the evening and the next day, small management decisions like that might greatly enhance the revenue-producing capabilities of the facility while meeting the programmatically connected program needs of having a winter farmers market there. People who farm are horticulturists. They are growing plants. They are very interested in the growing of plants and successfully growing them. They are potential people to participate in education programs at the domes on how to more effectively winter over your crops and make it possible to extend your season. All sorts of other educational opportunities. They are also interested in the outdoors and environment. The customers are also committed to those matters, and I think they provide a connection to the admission paying potential for the domes projects that if we had an adequate marketing strategy and a tie-in strategy, we would be much better able to promote becoming a friend of the domes and a donor, becoming somebody who goes there, not just on the farmer's market, but promotes going to the programs of the domes the rest of the year.
Mr. So Lynch, do you think this should come to the domes task force for discussion at our meeting?
Yeah, I intend. It will be on the agenda of our next task force meeting. Excellent. With respect to the Zilli contract, I've looked at the file that's been referred to here from January, and there are implications for the future of the domes that follow from granting a 10-year lease with 2 5-year extensions solely at Zilli's decision. Mm-hmm. It's a unilateral extension. So we have a 20-year lock-in of a exclusive caterer for the annex and the domes generally. When we're trying to figure out how to better manage and change the domes so it has a future, but now that future will have locked in 20 years with the rates set, the percentages set, the dollars are set. It's all in the file that you approved, Supervisor Washman. So I think, from the point of view of managing a task force on the future of the domes, just knowing what constraints there will be on the future flexibility for operation of the domes is important. So we will also be having on our agenda of the task force, just letting the task force know the context in which the future is being shaped by decisions of the Parks Department and the County Board. So.
Very good.
We have recommendations that were not in the report from the task force. There was some of it on increasing management and having an adequate budget to really invest in sound management of the domes in the future.
I wish us luck with that. Thank you, Mr. Lynch. One more card from Pat Small. Pat, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. I'm going to reiterate a little bit what Mr. Lynch just said. It's really time for the park management and county administration to take more of a can-do attitude. We could, learn to walk and chew gum at the same time. If the Milwaukee Bucks Arena were to take such an attitude that they can only do one event a day or the Bradley Center, that would be a really bad decision. There's really no reason why they can't turn around the farmer's market in the afternoon and have an event in the evening. I've been a landlord for 40 years, and I've had tenants leave and had to put a new tenant in. The very next day, it meant that I had to get a crew in there and do the house cleaning or whatever. But you work, you do it, you get it done, and it's not a problem. You just learn to be adaptable and positive about these things and look at it as an opportunity. You don't throw out one tenant because you want to favor another. You try to, if you can, serve both. And to me, it's common sense. I also have some experience as a farmer. I grew up on a family farm, and I worked for my uncle, who was one of the Fondy Market vendors for the Bauer brothers for probably 70 years. My cousins have just retired in the last few years. But so I know what it's like to set up a farmer's market. You get there and you work as hard as you can. You want to get, and at the end of the day, you want to get out of there as fast as you possibly can. And I cannot believe that there's some huge delay at the end. I know what it's like. I did it all through my teen years. And I also have worked as a vendor or at Seven Mile Fair and the Brady Street Festival and the Locust Street Festival in my younger days selling T-shirts. And again, you get there early in the morning and you work and then you get out. There's really no delay. And to me, it's all about a can-do attitude, learning how to just accommodate and be really committed to being in the hospitality business. And that's what the Parks Department is. They're serving the public in the hospitality setting. So that's all I have to say, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Small. Okay. So we've finally reached the point where I'm out of cards. Thank you all for commenting. At this time, I'd like to go into closed session so that Supervisor Wasserman has moved for closed session. Mr. Kuglich, still with us here? You think this is appropriate to go into closed session for?
Paul here.
I don't see Mr. Kuglich.
You went.
Oh.
Oh, there he is. He's in the hallway.
Okay.
He's coming in.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Kuglich. Sir, do you think this item warrants moving into closed session?
Yes, I do, Chairman, committee members.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Wasserman.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn into closed session under provisions of Section 19.851E, Wisconsin State Statutes, for the purpose of the committee deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public businesses whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, and Section 19.851G, State Statutes, for the purpose of the committee receiving oral or written advice from legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted with respect to pending or possible litigation with regard to the following.
Thank you. So we have a motion to go into closed session. Madam Coordinator, we call the roll, please.
On the motion that the committee adjourn into closed session, Supervisors Wasserman.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Shea.
Aye.
And Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes, the motion prevails.
Okay.